Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. Time now for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest pastor today, Pastor Dale Hilsman from Bethany Lutheran Church in Wellington, Ohio. Pastor Hilsman, welcome to His Time.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Andy.
Oh, thanks for joining us this morning. Looking forward to studying God's Word with you this morning. Tell us about your congregation, Bethany Lutheran Church, Wellington, Ohio.
Well, we're located in Northeast Ohio, about 35 and 40 minutes from southwest of Cleveland. And yes, we are still rooting for the Cleveland Indians to win that final game.
lots of prayers, I'm sure, ascending from Ohio this week.
Yes. We're a rural-type congregation, small town, actually still a village, and surrounded by agriculture, and there's still a few full-time farmers, and mostly a dairy area. The congregation was started in the mid-70s as a daughter congregation from Grace Lutheran Church up at Oberlin, which is just north of us, and we continued to serve the Lord there still. We got all the services and that a congregation possesses. So,
well, thanks be to God for the ministry of Bethany Lutheran Church and all those who get to receive the good gifts of God there and carry that good message of Jesus out into the community. Mentioning farmers, today on Faith and Family, we're going to talk about the vocation of farmers coming up during the 10 o'clock hour. So let's see, you're on Eastern time there, right, in Wellington. So 11 o'clock your time, we'll be talking about the vocation of farmers on Faith and Family today. Might be a good day to tune in.
Oh, one of Jesus' favorite vocations.
Exactly. Well, we are in Matthew chapter 21 today, verses 23 through 46. Pastor, anything you'd like for us to know as we prepare to study this text?
Yeah, the context here is we're in Holy Week here in the text, and had lots of people coming in. As you know, it swelled for the Passover and celebration. Palm Sunday was a few days before there, and the children sang, you know, Hosanna to the Son of David, and blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So a couple of, you know, the references to Psalm 118, and it's important, we'll point that out a little bit later. Jesus had just done cleansing the temple, and so the chief priests and the elders of the people, the first string or the starting lineup, came to him while he was teaching in there. And if you could, read the section there for us.
All right, let's take a look. Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 23 today is what we're studying with Pastor Hilsman from Bethany Lutheran Church in Wellington, Ohio. If you have a question or a comment, listener lines are open, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. Verse 23 of Matthew chapter 21. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus. They answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders and the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?"
Yes, the question of Jesus's credentials. Today we would ask, "Hey, can I see your union card?" or by what power, by what permission are you doing these things? You know, who gave you this? Two questions there. It was a trap. We all know that they were spying on Jesus all the time, looking for some way to trick him up, to discredit him, later on even to murder him or kill him, always looking for the trap. And, of course, Jesus knows all this. And so he asks them, well, I'll ask you one thing. You know, you tell me what authority, what John's baptism, what was the source of authority for it?
Mm-hmm.
From heaven, from men? And Jesus sometimes, he didn't sidestep this question because he answered their question. It looks like he sidestepped it. But, Andy, I think he really is talking, yes, to those religious leaders, but also the great crowd of people that was following him around. And, these men, these religious authorities, had plenty of time, and so many times Jesus put out his credentials there, who he is, what he has come to do, and what his authority is. And the hymns that the people sang on Palm Sunday, the Son of David, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's the authority, of course.
And Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? So Jesus responds to their question with a question.
Yes. A very important method of Jesus's teaching, his teaching methods. A catechetical question, of course, questions and answers, but Jesus always points to the scriptures, and of course of himself as the Word of God, wanting people in their own to draw the conclusion under the guidance of God's Word and the Holy Ghost working in that Word, to the conclusion of who he is, coming to faith by the gracious working of God through the Word. Sometimes he comes right out and says it, but in this case it was a teaching moment during Holy Week, and knowing that these fellas came to try to discredit him.
And they discussed it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know.
Well, the baptism of John, the authority for his baptizing, is the same source of that Jesus' authority. It's from God, the Heavenly Father. It was their mission, and from heaven, this is a legitimate question, isn't it, Andy? It's a good question. What authority do you do these things? That's good questions to ask. We can ask a preacher or a teacher or some other religious individual and say, what's your source of authority for these things? Good question.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave the only answer they could, we don't know. And that's sometimes a good answer for us. And when people ask us or their pastors or other teachers, it's a good answer to say, we don't know. I'll look it up for you, or I'll try to get an answer to you. But it was really the only answer that they had. Should they have known? Well, of course, but their preoccupation with their positions, their jealousy of Jesus, and their suspicions of anybody who was not sent out by them. We're talking about the religious leaders of the day. They didn't authorize Jesus, and they were very, very uncomfortable. Well, they even hated it, I guess that's the word. Anybody would use Scripture on the basis, and teach on the basis of Scripture, going out on their own without their authorization. And this is what Jesus was doing, and this is what they hated.
And so he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things."
They had their answer. All through the book of Matthew, we see they knew the answer. And so in this situation, I'm not going to come right out and tell you. You know the answer. It's the same as John the Baptist. He preached righteousness. He baptized in the name of God for repentance. So in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So they had their answer. He knew this was a gotcha type question, and he just refused to play the game here.
Anything else up through verse 27, Pastor, before we go on to this parable?
No. I think we've covered it.
All right, verse 28. "What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward, he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same, and he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." So it begins with a question. What do you think?
Yeah, Jesus is, again, a great way of teaching. I was reminded of, when Jesus was talking with the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" Well, and they say some, he said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Mm. "And thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." This great teaching method to bring people in, not only for the Pharisees or the chief priests and the elders, the religious leaders there, but also he's talking to people around him as well, teaching them. So another question, about the two sons. This parable, deals with the religious leaders as men, as individuals themselves. And the next one deals with the rulers, deals with them as rulers of the people. But anyway, the one says, "Okay, Dad." The one says, "No, I'm not going to go for whatever reasons." But again, this is a parable. But then he thought about it, and it is interesting. Afterward, he regretted it, or he repented of it. The interesting word there, the Greek uses for it, repented himself. He repented himself, and then he went. And Dad, coming to the second one, said, "I will. Okay, I'll go, Dad." And then he didn't. Of course, he asked the question, another question, "Which of the two did the will of his father?" And he said, "The first." Well, Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you that the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the people that you were throwing out, that you have thrown out of the temple, that you have shunned, kicked out of the religious system and society, they're going to get into the kingdom of God before you. Wow. Well, how did they get into that kingdom of heaven? Of course, they're the kingdom of heaven. They're a kingdom of God. Yeah, by faith in Christ and who he was. You know, and one of the criticisms of him by the religious authorities was he ate with tax collectors and sinners associated with them. You know, and of course he says, you know, hey, it's not those who are well that needs a physician; it's those who are sick. And so Jesus came to them too, just as he came to the others, the more respectable people of society. And by faith in Christ, they're going to go. This must have just rankled them. You know, you could see them, the religious leaders, pulling their hair out for Jesus saying tax collectors and harlots, they're going to get into the kingdom of God before you. And then John the Baptist came to you. In the way of God's righteousness, he didn't believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed. They believed that, you know what, the righteousness, the rightness of God, the God's righteousness, our good standing with him in through Christ, they believed that. And then when you guys saw this, you didn't repent yourselves. You know, repent yourselves. You didn't feel remorse or feel bad. No repentance afterward. You didn't believe John.
We're studying the Daily Lectionary today. We're studying with Pastor Hilsman of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wellington, Ohio. We're in Matthew chapter 21 today, verses 23 through 46. If you have a question or a comment, listener lines are open, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. Email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study in Matthew 21. You're listening to His Time.
On the next adventure in Odyssey, Matthew takes on a new challenge at Odyssey Middle School.
I can't believe I just signed up to run for student body president.
Emily Jones is by his side.
I'm going to be your campaign manager.
But there's a wrinkle from his sister Olivia.
I'm going to be the next school president.
I'm running too.
Really?
It's Parker versus Parker. Next time on Adventures in Odyssey.
Saturday mornings at 8:30 on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." Worldwide KFUO invites you to start and end your day with the Word of God and prayer, with morning prayer at 9 a.m. and evening prayer at 5 p.m. The broadcasts of morning prayer and evening prayer are underwritten by Lutherans for Life.
Weekdays on the Messenger of Good News, Worldwide KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Dale Hilsman of Bethany Lutheran Church in Wellington, Ohio. We're in Matthew chapter 21 today, verses 23 through 46. Pastor, before we go on to the next parable, anything else about the parable of the two sons?
It's obvious the tax collectors and harlots were like the first son, who said, "Nah, you know, no way." And then they repented. And then the religious authorities, chief priests, elders of the people, said, "Yeah, okay." But they didn't do. They weren't doing their work. They weren't doing their job for the purpose that the father had sent them. So they're starting. starting to get the idea here of who they are and what Jesus came to do.
Here then, verse 33, hear then another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard and put a fence around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and leased it to tenants and went into another country. When the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did the same to them. Finally he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." We'll go on further to hear what Jesus said to them in just a moment. So here then another parable. There was a master of a house who planted a vineyard. He put a fence around it, dug a wine press, built a tower, leased it to tenants, and went into another country.
Well, as I said, this deals... I think with the religious leaders of the day as rulers of the people, authority given to them by God, and they're doing a horrible job of it. A landowner, another man with some authority, did everything he could to make this a fully functioning vineyard. Got all the equipment built, even a watchtower, and then he rented it out and went away. So from a distance, and so the story here, they weren't gonna, you know, since they didn't see the landowner here with his perhaps little army or enforcers, said, "Nah, you know, we're not gonna give the rental agreement price, which was, of course, the wine or the grape juice, whatever it was." And so they killed the slaves, the servants, and another set of servants, slaves. Was sent out, even larger than the first, did the same thing, killed them. And of course, this refers to how Israel was always killing the prophets, rejecting them. We think of Elijah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, killing the prophets, stiff-necked people. And so forth, they are called. And so now comes the son. They're going to respect my son. But the wicked tenants just said, "We're going to kill him. And then since the landowner's away someplace, we'll just confiscate everything. And, you know, we don't have to. We don't have to pay the rent, so to speak." So a reminder here, too, or a reference or analogy to God sends his son into the hands of murderers. Surely they'll respect him. He is the son. No. Sin, the hardness of heart, the jealousy, the world, the flesh, the devil, all working to kill the Son of God. That was their attitude. "We will get rid of this Jesus, nail him to a cross, we'll be done with it." But, you know, God used that very sacrificial death of Jesus, for he was... God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting our sins against us. You know, Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, all the sins. So our sins were placed on the Son as he hung on that cross and died. He was thrown out of the vineyard, so to speak, taken out of the city, put up on that cross on Golgotha. Very clear reference to what they're going to do with Christ, as they did with the other prophets.
When the season, going back to verse 34, when the season for fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit. And the tenants took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. They were so harsh with the servants.
Yes, you don't want to allegorize this parable. That's not the good way to interpret the Bible, but three ways they beat one, and just bloodied him savagely, and I assume he died, or maybe he got a little bit better and went back to tell what happened. Killed and stoning. What do we think about the stoning of many people? They even wanted to stone Jesus. This is how you punish criminals, and this is how God's prophets and Jesus were punished.
And he sent other servants more than the first. They did the same. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." That's quite some interesting logic there.
Yes. They really thought they'd get away with it, just like the religious leaders thought that they were all we got to do is get rid of Jesus. You know, all this will stop, so forth. Our kingdom, our rule, and our domain where we reign in Israel, it'll be all ours again. You know, we will maintain what we have here, but it really didn't work out, did it?
And they took him, threw him out of the vineyard, killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons."
Wow. Another question, right?
Yeah.
You know, what do you think is going to happen here, or what should happen? And, you know, I was thinking about this. Should they have said the same thing? We don't know. But by their own words, they're condemning themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Those wretches, we're going to bring them to a wretched end. You know, kind of reminiscent of Nathan and King David, you know, the man who took the little ewe lamb and even though he had a whole bunch himself, took it from the family, and David burned with anger. Oh, that man should be killed. You know, he should be punished. You know, and Nathan said, "Thou art the man." And again, you know, back to this parable, you are the men. Whoops, this is a big whoops answer, and they really tripped themselves up. Yes. God sent his son here. Look at the patience, God's patience with people, not wanting anyone to be lost. You know, very, very patient, sending his prophet, sending the teacher, sending his son. Doesn't want anyone to perish. But they just... hard-hearted, refuse. They have other priorities than listening to the gospel, listening to the God. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. No way. They were not interested in it.
Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard this heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. And although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet. So Jesus said, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone?
Pointing to scriptures. You know, again, one of Jesus's methods, bringing the scriptures to the people, method of teaching and preaching. Interesting. Again, as I mentioned earlier, Psalm 118, this is where it comes from. The stone which the builders rejected, okay? The chief cornerstone. This came about from who? The Lord. Yeah. Where does your authority come from, Jesus? Hey, I'm telling you right here, the Lord. You know the scriptures. You know Psalm 118. Also, a little later on in Psalm 118, the stone which the builder, verse 22 of Psalm 118, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, verse 23. It's marvelous in our eyes. And then you drop down to verse 26, and it's a reminder of Palm Sunday. The people are saying, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. That's who Jesus is coming from. That's where he got his permission and authority and power to preach. Hmm. Now, parables are stopping here, and then he on verse 43 he says, therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God. What's a kingdom? The kingdom of God, where the rule and reign of God is in existence. This kingdom's going to be. He's hitting them right in the teeth with this. Looking, you can almost picture him looking straight in their eyes and stern. This, the kingdom of God, is going to be taken away from you and given to another nation. The nation of those who believe in him, Jesus Christ, a new people, a holy priesthood, a royal nation, royal priesthood, holy nation. And then I had to do a little thinking on this one, Andy, that he who falls on the stone will be broken to pieces. So if you trip on me, the chief cornerstone, you'll be shattered, yes. But on whomever it falls, like the judgment day, you'll just be powderized. No hope of putting you back together. It's too late for judgment day. And then we see the parables. The Pharisees heard these parables, and they got it, that he was talking to them about them. And what happens? Instead of repenting themselves, like the tax collectors and the harlots and the first child, there's no contrition, there's no faith, there's no faith, there's no trust in Christ, no remorse, and I guess you could say he set their hair on fire. They wanted to grab him right away, but they feared the people. They didn't want their hypocrisy, their false rule to be exposed. So, like Satan did in Jesus in the temptation in the wilderness, he slunk back out of the way, Satan did, and waited for a more opportune time. And this is what we see once again with how evil and the evil that's in people's hearts, wanting, yes, to discredit, rejecting Jesus, but they're always looking for another time to get him.
Yeah, although they were seeking to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they held him to be a prophet.
Yeah. The crowds knew. They had sung that on Palm Sunday. What more proof do they need? They quoted the, the people quoted the scriptures, themselves, and the religious authorities heard them. Jesus quotes the scripture to them. Hard-heartedness. They're preoccupied with the preservation of self, their self-centered rule, and they didn't want this Messiah come and messing up anything. Can't be from God if it's going to interfere with us. And then again, the suspicion that they have for anybody who is not authorized by them, the religious leaders. No way you're going to strike out on your own just using the scriptures. It's authority of the scriptures. Hey, we just celebrated the Reformation Day, the authority of scripture. That's what the Reformation was all about. Who or what is allowed to establish the truth and the religious teachings? The church and the Pope and councils and so forth, or is it going to be the Word of God? And the Word of God puts the gospel straight out front and central. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The righteous shall live by faith. We are saved by grace through faith in Christ. The restoration of the gospel in the Blessed Reformation is just a carrying on of what God has carrying out, what God has done in the scriptures and has the scriptures for us. So some great little studies here.
Indeed, indeed. The parables are always interesting to study. Pastor Hilsman, thanks so much for being our guest today, helping us study in Matthew chapter 21.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good to be with you again.
God bless you and all the saints at Bethany Lutheran Church in Wellington, Ohio. Coming up in just a little bit, we have sacred music to sanctify your morning. We'll get back to Witness Wednesday next week when Pastor Wood returns from Rural and Small Town Mission. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.